Well, hello there, my friend. Jonathan Doyle with you once again. Welcome aboard to the Catholic Teacher Daily Podcast. Today, my friend, is day three in a three-day sequence. So if you're just coming into day three and you're going, what is this all about? You want to go back a couple of days. They're both short podcasts, but I'm recording this one, or releasing this one, from what I can tell. I think I'm releasing it on April 4. So if you go back to April 2 and listen to April 2 and 3, you're going to get up to speed with this really quickly. But for those who've been on this journey with me, let's do a really rapid summary. We're talking about leadership in the context of Catholic education. I've made the firm point that we are all involved in leadership. I know that's not what I believed many years ago, but I'm convinced of it now. I'm convinced of this self-leadership piece. I believe that every single one of us, as individuals, is always leading ourselves somewhere. We are always leading ourselves somewhere. It's happening. It's a thing. It is what we are doing. We can lead ourselves off a cliff. We can lead ourselves to incredible impact and beautiful service of other people and a rich, full, meaningful life. God gives us this phenomenal freedom and free will in our own lives. So we're all in self-leadership, and we've been defining what leadership is, and we're doing a three-part process. Part one, leadership equals influence. Influence is something has changed. Okay? If you're just joining us today, I completely surrender in humility to the idea that there are multiple definitions of leadership. I know that. This is just a filter that I've found very helpful for teaching around the world. Leadership is influence. Influence is something changed behavior, changed beliefs, changed sense of what could be accomplished. Leaders change things through their influence. They influence environments. They influence people. Of course, that raises the question, what if they're an absolute office psychopath and they've got terrible influence? Good point. Leadership is influence. What determines the type and the kind of the influence is character. The character of the leader, their personality, their character is what determines influence. Character and personality are a little bit different. Personality tends to be relatively fixed over the life course, but we are given enormous latitude in our character. And that's what we're going to be talking about now in this third part of the three-part process. Part one, leadership is influence. Part two, influence equals character. The character of the leader shapes the kind of influence. Good character, good influence. Compromised character, compromised influence. So the obvious question, my friend, is what determines our character? Are we born a particular way? Are we fixed in our character? If we were lying when we were kids, are we going to just keep lying all our lives? If we were lazy as kids, we'd be lazy all our lives. Well, I have some very good news. Okay, here it is. Character equals choices. Character is determined by or equal to your choices. I'm going to prove this to you. So two things. First, I've spoken about this before if you've seen me in a live seminar for Catholic education, but here it is. Aristotle was asked the question, how does the courageous person become courageous? Now, the reason they asked that question is because the Greeks were not sure whether people were just born a particular way, whether the heroes of Greek mythology just born that way from birth and nothing changed it. Or did they become that way? That's an ancient question, nature and nurture. So Aristotle was asked that question, how does the courageous person become courageous? And Aristotle answered so beautifully, he just said this, well, they do courageous things. They do courageous things. So classical Greek philosophical thought on this matter was, you can put it so simply, it's just this, we become what we repeatedly do. We become what we repeatedly do. So think about it. If you regularly complain, if you are a classic complainer, we've all met somebody who's just, no matter what happens, it's all bad. If you complain long enough, is it not true that you become known as, or you become a complainer? If you gossip all the time, if you gossip about people every single day, sooner or later, your identity, your character becomes the character of a gossip. If you have a habit of lying to people, you do that for long enough in your choices, then you move from somebody who tells an occasional white lie, you become a liar. And again, I share this in seminars. This is what you find in Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, where at the start of the novel, the key protagonist is thinking about committing a murder. He's a very disaffected young man. He's miserable. He's full of resentment and bitterness. And he harbors this thought. He thinks about it. But remember that our emotions, not so much our thoughts, but our emotions are morally neutral. You know, feeling anger isn't a sin. It's only what we do with it, of course. So he's not necessarily morally compromised for feeling the emotion of resentment. but he becomes more morally culpable as he thinks and stews and harbors on these thoughts and begins to conceptualize and frame them. And then he tragically carries out this murder. And the point is, and I explain this to the audience, he goes from being someone who thinks about murder. Once he commits the act, he becomes a murderer. Yes, there's forgiveness, and I get that, but we change ourselves with our choices. So what I'm trying to get Catholic leaders and teachers to understand is the Christian life, the Catholic life, the sacramental life, the life of prayer, the life of scripture, the life of fasting, the hard work of the inner life, becoming a saint, like grinding away, not as Pelagians, some of you will know what I mean by that, not grinding away purely in our own strength, but this participation, this partnership with God who wants to sanctify us, it leads us to make different choices over time, and those choices shape our character. So leadership is influence. Influence is character, and character is shaped by choices. What do we need in Catholic education? We need men and women making virtuous choices. And they can't do that purely in their own strength, because that's the whole human story. We know that we can't. I'm not saying we can't strive for virtue. Of course we can. But is it not true? The whole salvation, the whole arc of salvation is showing us how free will was not enough in itself for us to pursue perfection. Like we can pursue perfection through free will, because I know there'll be some theologians here listening to me very carefully. But my point is, in our own strength, our nature, we're not able to be perfect. So we need grace. We need the sacraments. We need prayer. We need to know the Bible. We need to be people who would go to Mass and go to confession and go to adoration, and that infilling grace allows us to become different, gives us a grace to choose things that we may not otherwise choose in our own human strength. Leadership is influence, is character, and character is choices. So if we want to improve our leadership, whether it's leading one student or a classroom or an education system or an archdiocese, or if you're the Pope, we do it all through our choices. Each of our choices is shaping us in some significant way. And that's the magic of Catholic leadership. Is it not true? Would you not feel comfortable and confident with a man or a woman in senior leadership in your school who you knew may not be perfect, but was trying for holiness, was trying to be kind, was trying to be considerate and prayerful and wanted the best for people? If they were making those kinds of choices in their personal spiritual journey, then they're going to be better leaders to live around and to work around. So that's our goal, friends. Phew, that's quite a lot, isn't it? Brings me to the end of my own, of this 3-day sequence. Tomorrow there's something else I want to talk with you about. But recording this here today, I'm thinking this is just so true for me. I'm not leading a school, but I'm leading a family with Karen, and I'm trying to lead myself. And each day I'm just focusing more and more on trying to let God shape my character by helping me with my choices to pursue what is good, to pursue what is good. There's a beautiful line, it's some catechism, I can't remember the exact paragraph, I was teaching it last week on that speaking tour I did, but the catechism makes clear that we participate in the divine reason, like reason. Rationality is an attribute of God. God is not chaotic. God does not subvert the laws of his own cosmos backwards and forwards. He can bend them as he does and as Jesus does in the miracles. And God is not subject to anything he has created. But you notice the order of the cosmos. We have a thing called gravity that holds things. God doesn't capriciously reverse gravity. So we find that he is a God of rationality and reason. And we, the catechism says, participate in that, which means we can actually know what's good. As we build our character, as we grow in virtue, our radar for the good becomes enhanced. Our radar for the good becomes enhanced. We stop playing petty politics. We stop trying to defend our turf. We stop trying to win the approval of others. We only want the approval of those people who love us and closest to us. We want their approval and we want to do the right thing for them. And we want the approval of the saints in heaven and the angels and our Lord Jesus Christ. We want his approval. We can know the right thing, and we can choose it, and we've got to get better and better out on this journey of self-leadership. I'd love to know what you think. I'm working this out in my own life as I go, and I guess I'll be working it out till heaven we possess. But God bless you, my friend. Tomorrow we're going to talk about reverence. There's something I'm going to go off the reservation a bit. There's something I got to say. So you and I are going to talk about reverence in the Catholic school. But for now, that's our three-day series. If you haven't heard the whole thing, go back and check it out. Leadership is influence. Influence is character. Character is choices. So my dear friend, pay attention to your choices. Pay attention to them. Ask the Holy Spirit to prompt and guide you. If you would like to book me to speak live at your school, your diocese, please go to jonathandoyle.co, jonathandoyle.co. Instagram, you can find me at jdoylespeaks. If you could do one thing for me, if you're still listening to this podcast at this point, share this podcast. Grab the link and send it to some committed Catholic educators and say, hey, listen to this. Because just growing in and reaching more people is a huge blessing. God bless you, my friend. My name's Jonathan Doyle. This has been the Catholic Teacher Daily Podcast. You and I are going to talk again tomorrow. Three in a three-day sequence. So if you're just coming into day three and you're going, what is this all about? You want to go back a couple of days. They're both short podcasts, but I'm recording this one, releasing this one from what I can tell. I think I'm releasing it on April 4. So if you go back to April 2 and listen to April 2 and 3, you're going to get up to speed with this really quickly. But for those who've been on this journey with me, let's do a really rapid summary. We're talking about leadership in the context of Catholic education. I've made the firm point that we are all involved in leadership. I know that's not what I believed many years ago, but I'm convinced of it now. I'm convinced of this self-leadership piece. I believe that every single one of us as individuals is always leading ourselves somewhere. We are always leading ourselves somewhere. It's happening. It's a thing. It is what we are doing. We can lead ourselves off a cliff. We can lead ourselves to incredible impact and beautiful service of other people and a rich, full, meaningful life. God gives us this phenomenal freedom and free will in our own lives. So we're all in self-leadership and we've been defining what leadership is and we're doing a three-part process. Part one, leadership equals influence. Influence is something has changed. Okay, if you're just joining us today, I completely surrender in humility to the idea that there are multiple definitions of leadership. I know that. This is just a filter that I found very helpful for teaching around the world. Leadership is influence. Influence is something changed behavior, changed beliefs, changed sense of what could be accomplished. Leaders change things through their influence. They influence environments. They influence people. Of course, that raises the question, what if they're an absolute office psychopath and they've got terrible influence? Good point. Leadership is influence. What determines the type and the kind of the influence is character. The character of the leader, their personality, their character is what determines influence. Character and personality are a little bit different. Personality tends to be relatively fixed over the life course, but we are given enormous latitude in character, and that's what we're going to be talking about now in this third part of the three-part process. Part one, leadership is influence. Part two, influence equals character. The character of the leader shapes the kind of influence. Good character, good influence. Compromised character, compromised influence. So the obvious question, my friend, is what determines our character? Are we born a particular way? Are we fixed in our character? If we were lying when we were kids, are we going to just keep lying all our lives? If we were lazy as kids, we'd be lazy all our lives. Well, I have some very good news. Okay, here it is. Character equals choices. Character is determined by or equal to your choices. And I'm going to prove this to you. So two things. First, I've spoken about this before if you've seen me in a live seminar for Catholic education, but here it is. Aristotle was asked the question, how does the courageous person become courageous? Now, the reason they asked that question is because the Greeks were not sure whether people were just born a particular way, whether heroes of Greek mythology just born that way from birth and nothing changed it, or did they become that way? You know, it's an ancient question, nature and nurture. So Aristotle was asked that question, how does the courageous person become courageous? And Aristotle answered so beautifully, he just said this, well, they do courageous things. They do courageous things. So classical Greek philosophical thought on this matter was, you can put it so simply, it's just this, we become what we repeatedly do. We become what we repeatedly do. So think about it. If you regularly complain, if you are a classic complainer, we've all met somebody who's just, no matter what happens, it's all bad. If you complain long enough, is it not true that you become known as, or you become a complainer? If you gossip all the time, if you gossip about people every single day, sooner or later, your identity, your character becomes the character of a gossip. If you have a habit of lying to people, You do that for long enough in your choices, then you move from somebody who tells an occasional, you know, white lie, you become a liar. And again, I share this in seminars. This is what you find in Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, where at the start of the novel, the key protagonist is thinking about committing a murder. He's a very disaffected young man. He's miserable. He's full of resentment and bitterness. And he harbors this thought. He thinks about it. But remember that our emotions, not so much our thoughts, but our emotions are morally neutral. You know, feeling anger isn't a sin. It's only what we do with it, of course. So he's not necessarily morally compromised for feeling the emotion of resentment. But he becomes more morally culpable as he thinks and stews and harbors on these thoughts and begins to conceptualize and frame them. And then he tragically carries out this murder. And the point is, and I explain this to the audience, he goes from being someone who thinks about murder. Once he commits the act, he becomes a murderer. Yes, there's forgiveness, and I get that, but we change ourselves with our choices. So what I'm trying to get Catholic leaders and teachers to understand is the Christian life, the Catholic life, the sacramental life, the life of prayer, the life of scripture, the life of fasting, the hard work of the inner life, becoming a saint, like grinding away, not as Pelagians, some of you will know what I mean by that, not grinding away purely in our own strength, but this participation, this partnership with God who wants to sanctify us, it leads us to make different choices over time, and those choices shape our character. So leadership is influence. Influence is character, and character is shaped by choices. What do we need in Catholic education? We need men and women making virtuous choices. And they can't do that purely in their own strength, because that's the whole human story. We know that we can't. I'm not saying we can't strive for virtue. Of course we can. But is it not true? The whole salvation, the whole arc of salvation is showing us how free will was not enough in itself for us to pursue perfection. Like we can pursue perfection through free will, because I know there'll be some theologians here listening to me very carefully. But my point is, in our own strength, our nature, we're not able to be perfect. So we need grace. We need the sacraments. We need prayer. We need to know the Bible. We need to be people who would go to Mass and go to confession and go to adoration. And that infilling grace allows us to become different, gives us a grace to choose things that we may not otherwise choose in our own human strength. Leadership is influence is character, and character is choices. So if we want to improve our leadership, whether it's leading one student or a classroom or an education system or an archdiocese, or if you're the Pope, we do it all through our choices. Each of our choices is shaping us in some significant way. And that's the magic of Catholic leadership. Is it not true? Would you not feel comfortable and confident with a man or a woman in senior leadership in your school who you knew may not be perfect, but was trying for holiness, was trying to be kind, was trying to be considerate and prayerful and wanted the best for people? They were making those kinds of choices in their personal spiritual journey, then they're going to be better leaders to live around and to work around. So that's our goal, friends. Phew, that's quite a lot, isn't it? Brings me to the end of my own of this three-day sequence. Tomorrow there's something else I want to talk with you about. But recording this here today, I'm thinking this is just so true for me. I'm not leading a school, but I'm leading a family with Karen, and I'm trying to lead myself. And each day I'm just focusing more and more on trying to let God shape my character by helping me with my choices to pursue what is good, to pursue what is good. There's a beautiful line, it's from Catechism, I can't remember the exact paragraph, I was teaching it last week on that speaking tour I did, but the Catechism makes clear that we participate in the divine reason. Like reason, rationality is an attribute of God. God is not chaotic. God does not subvert the laws of his own cosmos backwards and forwards. He can bend them as he does, as Jesus does in the miracles. And God is not subject to anything he has created. But you notice the order of the cosmos. We have a thing called gravity that holds things. God doesn't capriciously reverse gravity. So we find that he is a God of rationality and reason. And we, the Catechism says, participate in that, which means we can actually know what's good. As we build our character, as we grow in virtue, our radar for the good becomes enhanced. Our radar for the good becomes enhanced. We stop playing petty politics. We stop trying to defend our turf. We stop trying to win the approval of others. We only want the approval of those people who love us and are closest to us. We want their approval and we want to do the right thing for them. And we want the approval of the saints in heaven and the angels and our Lord Jesus Christ. We want his approval. We can know the right thing and we can choose it. And we've got to get better and better at it on this journey of self-leadership. I'd love to know what you think. I'm working this out in my own life as I go. And I guess I'll be working it out till heaven we possess. But God bless you, my friend. Tomorrow we're going to talk about reverence. There's something I'm going to go off the reservation a bit. There's something I got to say. So you and I are going to talk about reverence in the Catholic school. But for now, that's our three-day series. If you haven't heard the whole thing, go back and check it out. Leadership is influence. Influence is character. Character is choices. So my dear friend, pay attention to your choices. Pay attention to them. Ask the Holy Spirit to prompt and guide you. If you would like to book me to speak live at your school, your diocese, please go to jonathandoyle.co, jonathandoyle.co. Instagram, you can find me at jdoylespeaks. If you can do one thing for me, if you're still listening to this podcast at this point, share this podcast. Grab the link and send it to some committed Catholic educators and say, hey, listen to this. Because just growing in and reaching more people is a huge blessing. God bless you, my friend. My name's Jonathan Doyle. This has been the Catholic Teacher Daily Podcast. You and I are going to talk again tomorrow.